if you brought your Bibles, turn them to Luke, the 4th chapter, the 16th through the 19th verses. This morning we begin a sermon series entitled, The Good News. This first message is entitled, The Inside Edition. Now before you send me a letter saying that it's a typo, you're wrong. The old news show, The Inside Edition, made you believe that there was additional information that you were missing out on that they could only get access to. Today, I want you to know that the inside edition you're looking for has been given to you by God our Father in heaven, and it came in the form of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And whatever you're lacking in your life today, if you add Jesus into your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, you'll find everything that you've ever been looking for. And church, that's good news. The world that we're living in is searching for good news. We're saturated with news. We get it from our websites, we get it from the networks, we get it from our radio shows, we get it from bloggers and social media. You've even got apps on your phone that update you in the middle of the night because they might be afraid that you're missing some news. Just to mention a few of the sources that flood our lives with information of what most people believe to be the most important headlines of our day. And the words that they use to describe the news that we're hearing on the earth today are words like shocking, late breaking, tragic, crisis, scandal, collapse. People listen to this hour after hour, day after day, year after year. When all you listen to is the news of the world, then you begin to believe the things that this world says. You begin to feel the fear that this world propagates. You begin to be tormented by the news that this world spreads. Your life is filled with doubt and worry. Thankfully, Romans 10 and 17 tells us where the source of good news comes from. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Child of God, if you're looking for good news today, I hold in my hand the best news that you could ever hear, because this news is filled with truth, and it's truth that sets captives free. His truth endures forever, and His mercy and faithfulness go from generation to generation. He sent His word and He healed them. It provides for you. It protects you. It comforts you. It guides you, and so much more. Don't you let the world weigh you down with what's going wrong, but today, increase the inside edition of Jesus Christ in your life, because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and besides Him, there is none other. Luke, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse is where we find our text today. If you found it, say amen. Amen. Read with me. So He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He opened the book, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name that Your Holy Spirit would open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts to receive today the greatest news that we could ever hear. Our Savior has been anointed to enable us to live a life of being more than a conqueror. In every place of our insufficiency, He's more than enough. We ask that His presence fill this place and fill this preaching today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. There's three things that you need to know about the news. One, good news comes from good sources. Say that with me. Good news comes from good sources. Not all news is good. It may sound good when you hear it, but if what they're saying is not factual or is not effective in your life, it might as well have been ignored. So the question that you should ask yourself is, where is my news coming from? Not only does good news come from good sources, but the second thing you need to know about news is that the quality of your news is determined by the character of the individual that you hear it from. How many of you know that there are people you can listen to and 95% of what they say is not worth hearing? I don't want you to look or point. I just want you to think. Why? Because the quality of what you're hearing is determined by the character of the individual who's sharing it. And the third thing you need to know about news is that news runs in cycles. So the reason I bring these things to your attention is because when we open up Luke, the fourth chapter, the 16th verse, and we consider that good news comes from good sources, and good news comes from the character of the individual who's delivering the news, we read that Jesus Christ, as was his custom, was in the synagogue on the Lord's day. Where are you getting your news from? Are you getting all of your news from the world outside of God's house? Because good news comes from good sources. Here, Jesus Christ, our example, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible does not say that it was a rare thing to see him in God's house. The Bible says this was his custom. The Bible says that this was something that was a normal practice for him. It was not an abnormal practice for him. At this point in the life of Jesus Christ, he's 30. His public ministry has begun. He has 3 years to change the world. And so many people might have thought, well, he's got so much to do and so little time to do it. He's just way too busy to come to church. But the Bible says it was not his rare occasion, it was his custom. Can the same be said of you? Do you regularly set aside time to spend with the Lord? Because good news comes from good sources. And I assure you, if you're looking for good news, you will not find a better source than the presence of the Lord God Almighty. So oftentimes people feel like they're living beneath the circumstances. But the reason they feel like they're beneath the circumstances is because they have not cleansed their hands. They have not purified their hearts. And in their own pride, they think they can do it all by themselves. Believe me, if you want to try it all by yourself, God will give you the chance. But if you humble yourself, he'll lift you up. He'll lift you up above the things that weigh you down. Deuteronomy 28 will become your verse as it says, you'll be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. And whenever you're looking for a place to humble yourself, you set aside time and you come to the house of the Lord and you enter his gates with thanksgiving and you enter his courts with praise. This is the place where you're reminded what the fullness of joy feels like. For the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, and in his presence is the fullness of joy. This is the place where you receive the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. This is the place where you get the supernatural strength to go out and fight the good fight of faith again. This is the place of which David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad when people invite you to church? When you spend time with God, do you do it cheerfully or do you do it grudgingly? How many of you know what it's like to spend time with someone grudgingly? Well, you need to understand something. When you show up with a chip on your shoulder, it doesn't melt God's heart. The Bible says, as a man sows, so shall he reap. And when you give your time to God, give it cheerfully. Come into his presence thankfully. Recognize that everything that you have in this life, he's given to you freely. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. But if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have it. The Bible says that Jesus was in the synagogue. He's in a place where good news comes from. And the Bible says that he was handed the book of Isaiah. The thing that I love about the picture here is that the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, is holding in his hand the book of the prophets that speaks nothing except about the Savior. Every page, every line, every letter you look on the book of Isaiah, you find a picture and a portrait of Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. People say, I'm looking for good news. Church, I want you to know, you don't have to look hard when you look in the right place. But on this day, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he doesn't go to any verse. He goes to Isaiah chapter 61. Why? Because Isaiah chapter 61 was the selected passage for the day. Understand that the way that the law of Moses works and the way that the children of Israel have operated for thousands of years is that every day you read a portion from the law, the first five books, and every day you read a portion from the prophets. So when Jesus opens to Isaiah chapter 61, no one is surprised because for thousands of years on this day, Isaiah 61 gets read. But there's something different about this time, because Isaiah 61 has always talked about one who was to come, who was going to do certain things that no one else could do. And on this day, the one who was said to come has finally arrived. And there he stands with the book in his hand. Good news comes from good sources, and good news comes from people with good character. You can't get any better than this. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. He's anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captive and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Where are you getting your news from, and who are you hearing it from? Let me tell you something about the character of the one who spoke these words. The Bible says that my God is not a man that he should lie, that he is from everlasting to everlasting and he does not change. That means he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He keeps his promises and his covenants for 1,000 generations, which means if he said it, he's going to do it. Because if he said it, it is settled. It may take time, but it's done. It may seem impossible, but nothing is impossible for my God. Heaven and earth may have to be moved. The sun may have to stand still. The mountains may be carried into the sea. But if God said it, child of God, that settles it.
Fear, if you allow it, will destroy every one of your dreams. But God gives you the power to crush that fear if you have the faith of a mustard seed. Nothing is impossible for you. Your faith has the power to overcome any obstacle and overcome the spirit of defeat.
For your support, Hagee Ministries would like to send you a signed copy of Pastor Hagee's brand new book, The End of the Age. For your gift of $200 or more, you will also receive a Faith Over Fear bracelet, a daily journal, and Hagee Ministries pen, a one-year Pray for America Bible, a Faith Over Fear mug, and an end of the age study guide.
Now is your moment to take your life back. Your faith in Christ is the victory that overcomes the world.
Send your gift today. Call the number on your screen or go to jhm.org/faith.
Good news has to be received before it can change your life. You would think that the people in Nazareth that day would have heard what Jesus had to say and took it and run with it. Everything that they were ever looking for, they had just heard, and rather than receive it, they rejected it. And rather than shout hallelujah, they say, isn't that Joseph's boy? You see, disbelief will always create an excuse. Disbelief always has a reason why it doesn't believe. In Nazareth, they didn't want to believe Jesus because they knew him, so they started coming up with reasons why. Well, isn't that the carpenter's kid? Who does he think he is? And the Bible says that rather than receive the news in just a few short verses, they took him up in their hands and they were going to throw him off a cliff. How often do we make excuses about what we want to hear from the Word of God? And when God sends us a message, rather than receive it, we reject it because it didn't come the way we wanted, or it didn't come from who we wanted, or it didn't come like we wanted. Oftentimes people make excuses. Well, I've tried church. I'm not asking you to try church. I'm asking you to try Jesus. Well, you don't know what I've been through. I've got good news. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has come to preach the gospel, which is good news to the poor. Now understand that when he's talking about being poor, he's not talking about just financial poverty. This word poor is translated, I have brought good news to everyone who suffers from insufficiency. Any place in your life where you have insufficiency, you're poor. There are people who are poor in their health. They're insufficient in their natural strength, or there's something wrong in their body. There's people who are poor in their wealth. They're insufficient in their financial capabilities. Jesus didn't come and say, listen up, everyone who's got enough money. He didn't come and say, everyone who's got enough strength. He didn't come and say, everyone who's got the right personality. He said, I don't care what made you poor. I don't care how you became insufficient. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because no matter whether you're poor in your health or you're poor in your wealth or you're poor in yourself, I can come and meet your need today. I am the all-sufficient one. Everything that you're looking for, I am. Add me to your relationships. I'll make them new again. Add me to your physical body. I'll give you strength again. Add me to your financial wealth, and I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out upon you blessings you cannot contain. If you're filled with fear, he's the Prince of Peace. If you're all alone, he's a friend closer than a brother. No matter what you need, no matter what you're looking for, no matter your insufficiency, he is the all-sufficient God. But in order for this news to change your life, you've got to receive it. The acceptable year of the Lord in the Bible is the year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee comes after every 49th year. It is the 50th year that begins another cycle. And in that 50th year, it's an acceptable year of the Lord. Leviticus 25, where you read the laws and the regulations of the year of Jubilee, what you need to understand about Jubilee is simply this. It is a time of restoration, it is a time of relief, and it is a time of release. It is a time when you were to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Because if you lost it in the previous 49 years, it was restored to you in the 50th year. It was a time of release. If you were under it, say you had a debt that you were under in the past 49 years, in the 50th year, you were forgiven the debt. It was not only a time of restoration and release, it was a time of relief, because if you were enslaved to it, in the past 49 years, in the 50th year, you were set free from it. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you would agree that it would be an acceptable year if everything that you lost in the last 49 years was given back to you, and everything that you were under in the last 49 years was lifted off of you, and everything that had you captive in the last 49 years, you were set free from? Every 50th year, it all came back. Now, what made it an acceptable year of the Lord? Jubilee began with a day of atonement. And a day of atonement is when the high priest of Israel would go into the Holy of Holies, to the presence of God, and he would sacrifice appropriately. And that word appropriately is so important, because if he did it in any way, shape, or form other than the way God wanted it, it was rejected and the high priest would be killed. Now that's a high-pressure work environment. But every year, with this Day of Atonement, there would begin a cycle. Forgiveness, and then sin, and bondage, and then another cycle of forgiveness. And then sin, and bondage, and another cycle of forgiveness. And then sin, and bondage, and another cycle of forgiveness. And it was through this cycle of sin, and bondage, and forgiveness, and sin, and bondage, and forgiveness, that the children of Israel were, one, reminded that they couldn't ever do anything to escape the sin issue in their life. And two, that they were continually finding themselves in need of liberation until the 50th year, when everything that they had done wrong in the past 49 was erased. And you say, preacher, what's all this talk about Jubilee? The news runs in cycles. But when Jesus picked up this text from Isaiah 61, and he said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And then the Bible says he closed the book. Literally, he opened up a scroll because they didn't have books back then. He read it and he rolled it up. Why? Because he looked at everybody in the room when he closed the book and he said, what I've just read is about to be fulfilled. He said, this cycle of sacrificing for sin on an annual basis is about to be broken. There is going to be one sacrifice that is coming once and for all. And when that sacrifice is made, the veil that has separated God and man is going to split from top to bottom. And those who are outside are going to be brought inside. And everything that you lost in the fall is going to be restored to you. And everything that you are underneath is going to be taken off of you. And everything that you're looking for is going to be given to you, because in the acceptable year of the Lord, the spotless Lamb of God is going to lay down his life. And if you're brokenhearted, it's going to be mended. And if you're blinded in your eyes, they're going to be open and you're going to see. And if you're held in chains of bondage, you're going to be set free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Child of God, that's good news. All he asks you to do is receive the inside edition. Because until you receive him, until you believe in him, until you accept him, this restoration, this relief, this release, it can't be yours. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Can we stand in the presence of the Lord? With every head bowed and every eye closed. You're in this place today. And you say, Pastor, I need a touch of restoration in my life. I need everything that the world has taken from me, that God wants for me, to be brought back into my heart, soul, mind, and body. Others of you could say, Pastor, I need relief. I'm poor in self, I'm poor in health, I'm poor in wealth. And I need the all-sufficient one to come and be more than enough in my life. Or you say, Pastor, I need release. I'm held by chains of bondage. I'm held by yokes of addiction. I'm held by things that keep me from enjoying the freedom that Christ so graciously gave. I've got good news today. The inside edition is in this house. And all he asks you to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. He wants you to ask for him to come into your life. The Bible says that he stands at the door and knocks, and whoever opens the door, he'll come in. But the only way that you can invite him in is by opening your mouth and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I need you today. So I want everyone in this room to raise their hands and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, today I receive you, the good news of my Savior, that you have paid the price that breaks the cycle of every form of sin in my life. Today I receive you as the addition in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, that I may receive Jesus Christ, my Savior and my soon coming King. Thank you, Lord, that in every place that I'm lacking, you are more than enough. I receive your sufficiency, your grace, your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house today?
The Bible says, everyone born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith is your celebration that can produce joy unspeakable.
Faith brings confidence and hope. Choosing faith over fear produces a blessed life. With God on your side, you can have the best of things in the worst of times.
We pray that you have God's peace each and every day. Thank you for being with us, and God bless you.
Becoming a legacy partner with Hagee Ministries allows you to make a difference in the lives of millions of people all over the world. Technology is allowing us to connect with so many people through the use of online platforms and social media. You can now watch live services and on-demand content from Hagee Ministries at jhm.org. Become a part of a lasting legacy. Call the number on the screen or go to jhm.org/partner.
The End of the Age, the latest book from New York Times bestselling author, Pastor John Hagee. What would you do if you knew the end of the age would happen in the next 24 hours? How would you spend these moments? In his newest book, Pastor John Hagee examines the prophecies of the Bible in the context of the events taking place in our world. With so much misinformation in the news today, we must not forget that he sees the end from the very beginning. The End of the Age, available now at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold.
You've been watching Hagee Ministries. If you need prayer, call our prayer line or visit our website. Be blessed and join us tomorrow.